Welcome to Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio 89.1, where we experience the people, stories, and events in Central Iowa. I am one of your hosts for today, Susan Franzen, together with Tom Beal. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Susan. It's good to be at KHOI this week, where we are providing a forum for primary candidates from both parties who will be competing in the primary election next Tuesday, June 3rd. On Wednesday, we hosted the Democratic candidates for Iowa State Senate District 23. Today, we turn our focus to the Republican candidates for county attorney.
Because of the timeliness of these programs, we remind you that Local Talk airs at 7 a.m., but is rebroadcast at noon and 7 p.m. If you or your friends miss these programs on the days they are aired, you will be able to hear them on our website, khoifm.org, by tomorrow and through the weekend.
Our featured speakers today are Steve Howell and Tyler Eason, who will be facing off against each other in the Republican primary election on Tuesday. We believe this is a particularly significant contest, not only for the candidates involved, but to help people understand the important functions of the Story County Attorney's Office. We will interview them separately for about 22 minutes apiece, with just a couple of minutes in the beginning for an announcement about an internationally famous Iowan who is being celebrated today.
Earlier this year, we had a regularly scheduled feature on phenology, which is the calendar of events in the natural world in our area, the nesting of robins, the mating of coyotes, the first hepatica in the spring. In recent weeks, spring has raced ahead of us, so we have not kept up. But today, a beautiful and rare little bird, the cerulean warbler, which nests in the Effigy Mounds Yellow River Forest Bird Conservation Area, is attracting international attention. The area, which covers 135,000 acres, has been designated a globally important bird area. The dedication will take place tomorrow, Saturday, May 31st, at a ceremony scheduled for 11 a.m. at the Yellow River State Forest Headquarters, located along Allamaquis County Highway B-25, southwest of Harper's Ferry. Awarded by BirdLife International, based in Great Britain, and the National Audubon Society, this designation is intended to acknowledge and protect this precious habitat, where 121 pairs of these little snowbirds have made their annual migration from Venezuela's winter. Let's listen to a little bit of the cerulean warbler, okay, James? That was the song of the cerulean warbler, who really has something to sing about today. You'll hear more of that story in future programs, where KHOI reporter Pat Schlarbaum will tell us about globally important bird areas in our listening area.
But now it's time to talk to the candidates. Here at KHOI Community Radio, we have with us both Republican candidates for Story County Attorney, Steve Howell and Tyler Eason. Neither has the endorsement of the Republican Party, and both stress that the office of county attorney is not a partisan office, though it has been held by a Democrat since 1972, when Ruth Harkin served as the first full-time county attorney. Our guests this morning have different experience and ideas, but they agree that now is the time for a change. Since Steve Howell is the better known of the two, having run unopposed as the Republican candidate 4 years ago, we'll speak with him first. Hello, Steve.
Good morning.
Well, we're really happy to have you here, and we want to have you tell us something about yourself and your family, your training, a little about your experience.
Well, I'd be happy to. I've been in the practice of law for 17 years now, all of it in Story County. I graduated from Drake Law School in 1997. Prior to that, I worked for approximately 10 years in human resources in a variety of businesses, in large insurance companies and in small manufacturers. I'm married. My wife, Mary, and I will be celebrating our 22nd anniversary this August. And we have three children. James, a 17-year-old who ironically will turn 18 on June 3rd. So he gets to vote for me this time. And John, who is 14 and is a eighth grader in Gilbert. He'll go to the high school next year as a freshman. And our youngest, Sarah, who's 12 and is in sixth grade, also in Gilbert.
Wow. And, you know, it's interesting you mentioned your son being old enough to vote, and that's something to remind people that if the young people are, I think, 17 and a half within range of the election,
As long as they'll be 18 on the date of the general election, they can vote. They can register and vote.
Right. Well, what we wanted to do is to look into the issues and your program so that voters can distinguish you from Tyler, who is also running for this position in the Republican nomination. So let's start with what do you see as the most important program or even change that you would want to make in the county attorney's office?
Not to be glib, but the most important change I want to make in the county attorney's office is to get a new county attorney in. In terms of the operations of the office, I don't know at this point that there's anything that I would say, let's change that, because I'm not there. I'm not in the office. And I don't think it would be appropriate for me to say, let's make some wholesale changes in how this office is being run until I've had a chance to go in and evaluate and determine what the strengths and weaknesses of the office and the staff are and make adjustments accordingly. I think the one of the areas that I do think, though, that needs to be improved in the county attorney's office is its relationship with the public, its relationship with law enforcement. When I decided to run 4 years ago, I was amazed at the feedback that I received from law enforcement in the city, the city of Ames, city of Nevada, the sheriff's office, as well as Iowa State DPS, from the officers out on the street who all came up and thanked me for running, who all told me we've got to get somebody else in there, who were also frustrated with Stephen Holmes, with his dismissive attitude, arrogance, smugness. They just didn't feel like they could, that they were being given the respect for the work they did and they could work with him. And I think that's something that needs to change. We have to have someone in that office that can work collaboratively with law enforcement. Because they do work together, they should work together. Law enforcement does the investigating. They're the ones who get the information, who make the arrests, who bring the information to the county attorney's office and say, here's what this person has done, here's our evidence. Now prosecute. And the county attorney's office is then charged with evaluating that information, making the determination of what charges to bring, and whether or not, in fact, to prosecute based upon the strengths or weaknesses of the case.
It's my understanding that the percentage of cases that the county attorney's office wins is extremely high, I think in the 90% range. I know many cases are settled as plea bargains, which I understand is an acceptable tactic for saving court time and money. But I'm wondering if the relationship problems that you're describing are being reflected in the actual prosecution of cases that are brought.
I'm not sure I understand.
Well, if the incumbent doesn't have a good relationship with the law enforcement people in the community, that you'd think would show up in failing to win cases that these law officers and so on have put together, or, you know, to prosecute the people that they've arrested. And I'm wondering if he is that brittle in his relationship with the law enforcement people, is that showing up in his performance, in his office's performance in prosecuting these cases that are brought to them?
Well, the evidence that's the evidence that's given to the county attorney's office from law enforcement is, I don't think, is influenced by the relationship. I mean, they pull someone over, they do their investigation, they determine whether or not there's been an offense committed, and frankly, most, or not most commonly, but quite often, you've got someone under the influence of alcohol, or you've got someone who is, well, again, alcohol either in the vehicle or on the street, public intoxication, operating while intoxicated, those kinds of offenses. And the information comes into the county attorney's office, and they've got a blood alcohol test. They've got the field sobriety tests, and the assistant county attorneys take that information and proceed with the prosecution of the case. So the issue that I see is the two-way communication between the county attorney and law enforcement. I had one officer tell me about an instance where he was at a trial. It was a case, I don't know what the case was, but he was at a trial. He was the arresting officer. He said, "Here I am up on the stand. There's a new assistant county attorney there. I hadn't talked to this person before going into trial. I've done this a number of times. I know the information they need to get. I know what they need to get on the record. I know what questions need to be asked. And I'm sitting up there, and this person's not asking me the questions that I need to answer in order to give the court the information it needs to make a judgment." Now, this is an experienced law enforcement officer working with a relatively inexperienced assistant county attorney. And there'd been no communication. There's no interaction between them leading up to trial. The county attorney or the assistant county attorney shows up, and the law enforcement officer shows up, and they have the trial, and that's the extent of their interaction. Hmm. Now, I realize we're all busy. We all have a lot to do. But that should be part of your pretrial preparation, is talk to the officer. Make sure you know that you're both on the same page going in.
Could that have been a function of this young person's inexperience?
It could have been. But the other issue is the county attorney didn't get back with the officer and ask. And again, it's just, this is one case. Get back and ask, how did it go? You know, this is a new person. How did it go? Mm-hmm. Give me some feedback on how my employee handled the case.
So if you were county attorney, you would make a point of more or less educating or continuing education, I guess, of your staff to make sure that you have that kind of thing.
People coming out of law school have the basic skills. They have the raw skills to do the job. But they need training. They need mentoring. They need seasoning. And I don't know if they're getting that. I know in years past, particularly 4 years ago, one of the major complaints against Mr. Holmes was he wasn't in the office very often. There was an office in Ames. There was an office in Nevada. If you called Nevada, well, he was in Ames. If you called Ames, well, he was in Nevada. He wasn't answering either phone. He would be gone for extended periods of time, and no one could get in touch with him.
Do you know if that's an issue now?
I don't know that it's changed that much. I haven't really investigated extensively on that to see how much has changed. But I do know that it still is an issue that he isn't there all the time. We pay this, you know, we pay our county attorney very well. And I think for that, the county attorney should at least show up to work.
Could I ask another question? And Susan, if you have something you want to holler in. One of the criticisms that I've heard is that you don't have prosecutorial experience. I wonder how you would address that criticism.
I've never been a prosecutor. That's true. But I have been in court. I have been in court in criminal matters as a defense attorney. I understand the elements of the criminal offenses that are brought, and whether you're on the prosecutorial side or the defense side, you're looking at the same evidence, you're looking at the same requirements for conviction of a criminal offense, and I don't know that not actually having sat at the other table is that essential of a distinction.
Well, if experience is an important factor in running an office like this, and you admit that you don't have a lot of experience in the prosecutorial side, how would you deal with that, at least at the beginning of your term? What would you do to make up for the lack of prosecutorial experience?
I'd get involved in cases. I would get involved with my staff. The county attorney manages the largest law firm in the county, and you need an effective manager who's going to work with the staff. The county attorney shouldn't be spending his time in the courtroom all the time. That's not what his job is. That's a part of his job. But that's not what the county attorney, I shouldn't say his, that's not what the county attorney's job is. The county attorney's job is to manage the office, to deal with the criminal charges, to deal with the civil cases, to deal with the other situations and the other issues, legal issues that come up with the county. The county attorney represents the Board of Supervisors. The county attorney represents the other elected officials in the county. There's more to it than just sitting in and prosecuting OWIs.
Well, I would have also asked that question, and I appreciate your answer that there are lots of ways to learn and become aware of this. But I am a little more interested in your background. Okay. Have you been running your own firm
yes,
independently for several years now? Is that right?
For about 4.5 years, 5 years.
And what kind of cases do you get involved in?
Well, I don't actually go into the courtroom very much because of the nature of my practice. I work in real estate with some of the builders in the area. I work with some banks in the area on some of the legal actions that they have to bring, primarily foreclosures. The numbers are down, but they're still out there. I also work with some banks on regulatory compliance issues. When Dodd-Frank was passed, there were a slew of new regulations that hit the banks. The larger banks had their compliance staff. They had their compliance people. The smaller banks, the smaller community banks, they don't have the resources to have someone on staff who's the compliance officer. That falls to the bank president. And that's one more thing on the bank president's plate. So I try and help with those issues with the banks that I work with.
I can't help smiling with a little irony. So these people who complain about all the regulations, that's work for you, right?
Yes. Oh, yeah. Any new law passed is work for lawyers somewhere.
Could I ask you a question about it's really related to this communication issue that you mentioned earlier. And I wonder if you could tell us what you consider the proper relationship between the county attorney's office and, for example, the sheriff's department or local police chiefs.
Okay. Well, as I said before, our job as in the county attorney's office is to take the information that we've been given by law enforcement of suspected or likely criminal charges, to evaluate the evidence and determine whether or not the evidence meets the standards required to bring a prosecution. We're not just a pass-through entity. We don't just take the information, or the county attorney's office, rather. I'm not there yet. County attorney's office doesn't just take the information and say, okay, we'll do this. They have to do an independent evaluation. They have to determine, based on their knowledge, based on the law, whether or not the evidence is sufficient to bring a case. We don't want to be prosecuting people if the evidence is insufficient. Bringing criminal charges against someone is a terribly disruptive activity to the individuals. And we need to make sure that we are bringing charges against people who have most likely committed the offenses.
Now, I have a question. The most famous recent case, and one I think you have spoken out publicly about, is the way the Story County attorney handled the case of the shooting of Tyler Comstock by Adam McPherson.
Yes. I was at the League of Women Voters Forum, and the question was put to us regarding that incident.
And what did you have to say about it?
Well, I'll tell you what I told the audience there. I don't have access to all the information that Mr. Holmes did. I don't know what all the evidence was that he looked at. So I can't tell you whether or not I would have made a different decision than he did. But what concerned me was the speed with which he came out with his opinion. I think it was under 24 hours. And as I understand it, he wasn't even in town when the event happened. And I just have to ask, you know, was there a thorough investigation done? Was there really, was everything looked at that should have been looked at? Someone lost their life there. And at least from the outside, looking at the information that was available to the general public, there was some question there about how did we get to that point? What happened on campus there? And more importantly, what happened before then? How did we go from a young man taking his father's truck because he was angry at his father and he wanted cigarettes to the young man on campus and getting shot and killed? So I just question, I really wonder whether there was a full examination of all of the evidence, of all of the information that was available to make a determination by the county attorney. But I don't have access to all the information Mr. Holmes did, so I can't say whether I would agree or disagree.
We had him on our program shortly after that decision was made, and he did explain his rationale at that time. So he has a response to that, and he can provide that again. It's maybe when the general election campaigning gets rolling. Susan mentioned something related to the procedures for dealing with this volume of cases that I understand the office has to handle. And apparently it's quite acceptable to do plea bargaining to save the cost of for both the accused and the prosecutor's office. And I'm wondering, do you think justice is served when the plea bargains are used to resolve cases?
If handled correctly, yes. But it has to be the same opportunity for a plea agreement has to be offered to everyone for whom it's suitable. One issue that I would look at if I were county attorney is, do we only offer plea agreements to people who have attorneys, who are represented by counsel? Or would the staff make the same offer to someone who was pro se, who was representing themselves?
Do you know if we have many people who do that? Don't we provide counsel if someone can't afford their own?
Yeah.
Although, actually, I did know of a case where people who were considering hiring a lawyer and not taking the public defender were told, well, in Stark County, don't bother. You won't win. And from what I know of the case, that was probably it was justified. This person it was a OWI, mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, that's an open and shut case. Although there were some complications that later developed that were not able, you know, nobody looked at because it was plea bargain. But I was quite interested in that statement. This was an out of county lawyer who said, you know, nobody's going to take a case in Story County. So I was kind of puzzled if what that meant. You know, are they just so effective in Story County that you, yeah, or is there something else?
I wouldn't know what to say about that. I don't know all the circumstances. I don't know what the case was. Don't bother getting an attorney. It's not worth it. You know, I'm pulled over and they give me the field sobriety test and I fail them and I take the blood, you know, I blow into the tube and my breath results are, you know, 0.12. Yeah, don't bother.
That's probably good advice.
You've met the criteria there. And, unless they stopped you for no cause.
Mm-hmm. So. Steve, you mentioned that you're first of all, thanks for coming because
sure.
You've given our listeners and us an opportunity to learn more about what you would like to do if you're elected. One question I've heard, and in some ways as we were preparing for this interview, the question has to do with your getting out, telling people, knocking on doors, using the campaign campaign trail, I guess, getting on the campaign trail. I'm wondering, what are you doing to get your message out to the people?
Well, I have, every opportunity I have, I've talked with people about, you know, we've got another election coming up. It's on June 3rd. I'm running for county attorney. You remember I ran 4 years ago. You remember how close that race was. I do believe that this time I can get over the top and defeat Mr. Holmes in general election, and I'd like your support.
You mentioned how close it was. It was 240 votes, as I understand it.
234, I think. It was like 0.75 percentage points.
Are you doing anything different in this campaign than you did in that campaign that might make the difference?
Well, I'm not doing parades because we don't have any in the primary. But again, this is a primary election. I look at that I'm running a campaign against Mr. Holmes, but I really do have first a primary election with Mr. Eason, and I need to prevail next Tuesday in that election in order to have the opportunity to run against Mr. Holmes again. And if I didn't think that I had a good chance to prevail, I wouldn't be here. I wouldn't be doing this.
Well, thank you very much for being here. Really,
well, thank you.
Been a very educational interview.
Well, I appreciate the opportunity to come and speak.
You have been listening to KHOI Community Radio, where your hosts have been Tom Beal and Susan Franzen. For the first half of our program, we've been speaking with Steve Howell, one of the Republican candidates for Story County Attorney, in the primary election to take place next Tuesday, June 3rd. After the music break coming up, we'll be speaking with his opponent, Tyler Eason, who will be answering many of the same questions we asked to Steve Howell. Thank you so much for being with us, Steve, and you've given us a lot to think about.
For our music, we've chosen a song which has lyrics that we believe may reflect the thoughts of our guest. It's The Best Thing for You from the 1950s political musical Call Me Madam. This jazz version is by Diana Krall.
Want what's the best thing for you, and the best thing for you would be me. I've been convinced after thinking it through that the best thing for you would be me. Every day to myself I say, point the way, what would it be? Ask myself what's the best thing for you, and myself and I seem to agree that the best thing for you would be me. What's the best thing for you, and myself and I seem to agree that the best thing for you would be me.
This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio.
We now have our second guest, who is Tyler Eason, who is running for Story County Attorney. Tyler?
Good morning.
Tyler, we're delighted to have you here, and I wonder if you'd take a moment to tell us a little bit about yourself, your family, your background, a little background.
Sure.
We'll ask you more about that as well.
Sure. Born in Norwalk, Iowa. Went to Norwalk High School, graduated from the University of Iowa with a bachelor and master's degree, graduated from Drake University Law School, married to my wife Stephanie, who's a nurse practitioner at the VA system, two beautiful children, Bennett, who's 4 years old, Lucy, who's 1 year old, and God has gifted us with carbon copies of ourselves, which is terribly interesting. But no, it's been interesting. One of my good friends heard I was coming on the radio and said I have a voice for TV and a voice for scuba diving, so.
Yeah, those of us who worked in radio get that kind of wisecrack all the time. You're a graduate of Drake Law School, as is, your primary opponent, so perhaps you would talk a little bit about your legal training.
Sure. Very proud to have graduated from Drake. While at, Drake, I was, a student intern at Dallas County Attorney's Office, prosecuted there, worked in the Advanced Criminal Defense Clinic, argued a case before the Iowa Court of Appeals, argued numerous cases in the Polk County District Court. After leaving there, I started a law firm with three other graduates, started that from the ground up, and left there and went to the Mahaska County Attorney's Office in Oskaloosa, prosecuted there for over a year and a half. And then took a position here in Story County as an assistant county attorney. Worked there for a year, and then I'm currently a contracts counsel at Web Filings here in Ames.
Can you talk for a moment about your experience in the county attorney's office, since you had a chance to work in the very office that you're seeking? What did you see, let's say, firsthand there that you would want to see changed, or what did you think was working well?
Well, I'm a prosecutor at heart. I love prosecuting. I came here excited to work with law enforcement and to work with the assistant county attorneys here. I think some things that I would improve as the county attorney, I think you have to have some communication. I think you have to work as a team with law enforcement. I think you need some consistency within the office. You want to be fiscally sound. And most importantly, you want to ensure that victims have a voice in the prosecutorial experience. So all things that I think I would improve upon if elected.
Do you think victims have an adequate representation?
Currently? No. No. When I started there was a victim assistance office. In larger counties, there are victim assistance offices created by law. And there were three victim witness coordinators. There's now one. In a county the size of Story County, the ninth largest county in the state of Iowa, with a caseload such as that, you need individuals that are specifically trained and are specifically devoted to guiding victims through the criminal process, from initiation of a case, through depositions, through trial, and through the aftermath. There just isn't that office any longer. There's one person, and I don't think one person can do the work of what was being done by three.
Is that a budget problem that's beyond the control of the county attorney, would you say?
I don't think so. You know, in the last 12 months, you know, there's been, if my numbers are correct, there's been a 60%, or no, in the last 10 years, there's been a 60% increase in the budget of the county attorney. There's been raises in the last 7 months in the amount of $60,000-ish. So when you're diverting money from one pool to the other, it doesn't tell me that you're running out of money. It tells me that you're prioritizing one thing over another. And victim rights and the victim assistance office is not getting the attention it deserves.
Your opponent feels that communication can be improved both within the courthouse and I think probably with the law enforcement people around the county. How would you view that?
Well, I wholeheartedly agree with Mr. Howell. Being inside the office and knowing numerous law enforcement officials and law enforcement agencies and myself, you want to work as a team. You know, you want to work for the collective good of providing service to Surrey County. And that's missing right now. You want to make sure that law enforcement is provided the most up-to-date information on the law and on cases. There isn't that right now. In my term, in my stay at the Surrey County Attorney's Office, there were no in-services with law enforcement agencies. They tend to happen every 4 years. Coincidentally, every 4 years there's an election. You want to make sure that it's done for their betterment and to make sure that you can accomplish the law enforcement goals together. So, and I think Mr. Howell and I completely agree on that issue.
Once again, though, you feel that the present relationship between the county attorney's office and some of the law enforcement organizations in the county, that relationship is not as strong as it should be, or
No. The
communication is not as good as it should be.
I think there are barriers up, and I think the goal of a county attorney is to remove those barriers and ensure open and free-flowing communication.
What is the barrier? What would you say is the problem?
Well, I think you have a person that's been in office for over 12 years. I think you have a person that's been in office that entrenches within the office. And I think what Mr. Howell and I are both saying is new and fresh ideas and somebody that understands the difficulties of law enforcement and understands the pressures. You know, one of the things I did when I went to each county that I worked in, I think it's important to get out into the community. I went out, my first visa ever was when I was an assistant county attorney here. I went out for the Iowa State football game with Ames Police and Iowa State Police. When I worked in Mahaska County, I went out with the Sheriff's Department and even the DOT officers. I want to see what they're experiencing firsthand so that when they come into my office or come into court, it's not abstract. I actually understand. I saw the conflicts that they have out in the field. And I don't think that happens.
I have another question that Mr. Howell raised, I believe, off the air, but that there is a very high turnover rate in prosecutors in the Surrey County Attorney's Office.
Myself included.
That's right. And and the word mentoring came up. Do you feel that mentoring would help the retention of a county, or is there another reason why the assistant county attorneys don't stay very long?
Well, I think it's an interesting statistic to look at. When you have turnover in 4 years of over 10 assistant county attorneys in the ninth largest county, and when you look at the 10th largest county, Dallas County, in the last 4 years, they've lost one assistant county attorney. Is it money? I don't think it's money. I think it's leadership. I think when you have a leader that shows to the people that are within his or her office that they are willing to do what they're asking their charges to do, and when they have a leader that's clear and transparent, you have people that stay in a place and grow in a place, you know, and work towards bettering themselves there. But when you don't have a leader with those qualities, people leave.
We're interviewing Tyler Eason here on our program this morning, and that's an exploration, I should say, of the race for county attorney, the Republican nomination for the election next Tuesday. Tyler, you're still a fairly young guy, and yet you are stressing experience as one of the strengths that you would bring to the office. I would assume, though, that if you were the county attorney, you might actually be one of the younger people in the office. How do you sort that out? That is, the amount of experience the boss would have versus, say, some of the subordinates in the office.
Well, first I would talk about my prosecutorial experience. I've prosecuted for almost my entire career. I started while I was in law school and have been in multiple counties around the state. As it relates to within a county attorney's office, I think President Reagan said you surround yourself with really smart people and then go out and do the job. So what I would do is try to attract the best and the brightest assistant county attorneys that are here in Story County or aren't in Story County and work to making a better county attorney's office that is responsive and communicates with the public and law enforcement.
If you were to measure the success of the county attorney's office, how would you assess this one in its effectiveness at present time?
That's a good question. I mean, measuring success can be done in numerous ways. Some people look at conviction rates.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think that's the best way to look at success. I think as prosecutors, when I was a prosecutor, you operate under the system of justice and fairness. You're an officer of the court. Obviously, you represent the interests of the people of Story County, but at the same time, you want to ensure that everybody setting foot in the courtroom is treated fairly and justly. You judge success on how many people you keep around you and what how successful they are. You judge success on as a publicly elected official, the responsiveness you are to taxpayers and what they think you are doing with their tax dollars. I think all those issues that I talked about, I think I would do a better job. I think there are criticisms right now.
I have a bonus question that we didn't have time to ask Steve Hull. And this comes out of a recent interview I had with Dan Johnston, former county attorney in Polk County. And I asked him about the changes he made back in the 1970s when he became county attorney. One particularly stood out to me because it's something I know we don't have in Story County and something that would have been helpful in a recent incident. It's a program for solving disputes between neighbors through negotiation rather than litigation. What do you know about such programs, and do you think one would be useful in Story County?
Yeah, I do know about that program in Polk County. It's a great program. Any time where you can try to resolve issues outside of a courtroom and avoid any party expending the cost is a positive. And what I can tell you is the Iowa court system is trending towards requiring mediation and other things out of court. What I can tell you as it relates to the criminal system, there are numerous programs around the state that have been created to what are called diversion programs to avoid full-fledged criminal interaction, drug courts, family drug courts, mental health courts. They're all working in the state. They're successful, and there are grants available. We don't have those in Story County. Obviously, I don't know what Mr. Holmes has looked into, but they are programs that try to get interaction outside a full-fledged judicial judgment, and they work. They work in Ottumwa. They work in Council Bluffs. And we don't have those. We don't look into those. And I would look into that first thing.
You know, this might be a related issue, although you're focusing more on justice. But you have commented on fiscal responsibility in your campaign. And I'm wondering if you would talk about that as it relates to the county attorney's office.
Sure. As a publicly elected official, you are responsible to the taxpayers. They with their hard-earned taxes, and I got my notice of assessment increase in the mail in Ames, and that's a very good reminder that every tax dollar that a county attorney uses is important and should be accounted for and should go towards the purpose of that office. There's been a 60% increase in his budget in the last 10 years, from $1.25 million in fiscal year 04 to $2.06 million. What are we getting out of that? What changes that are beneficial to the people of Story County are happening, other than hiring a new assistant county attorney every 6 months?
Well, I guess that inevitably you're going to have to ask, is the caseload much higher than it was, say, 10 years ago?
Well, I think there's an increased caseload, but I think there's an increased caseload in all the larger counties. Dallas County, Pottawatomie County. But the problem is we haven't increased in assistance. There in fiscal year 09, there was 10.05 full-time, and now there's 11. So it's not like we've been asking, the county attorney's been asking for more employees. It's just more money. What I would do is you look through every single line item, and you see, is that justified by the mission of the county attorney's office? If so, then fine. You can stand before the people and justify that. But you want to be able to justify that because right now he's the fourth highest paid county attorney in the state of Iowa. That's a lot of money to do the job.
Well, for his seniority, though, would that not be an appropriate salary?
Well, that's up to the Board of Supervisors. But still, you know.
Well, let me ask, when it comes to hiring capable people, certainly in the case of attorneys, you do have to pay them enough to keep them. You had mentioned the turnover rate. I don't know whether we could get into this, but I know you were only there for a while, mm-hmm. and there was obviously reasons for you to have left. Was salary an issue?
Not at all. No, not at all. I think the majority of assistant, I don't want to speak for the other assistant county attorneys, but there's a survey put out by the Iowa County Attorneys Association that puts forth ranges of salaries, and Story County's is very right in the middle, if not on the high end. So I don't think salary is a reason people don't tend to stay at Story County Attorney's Office, and it wasn't a reason that I left.
Well, Ken, you may have touched on this earlier in the discussion, but maybe this would be a good time for you to recap what you think are the problems that cause some of the attorneys to leave.
Sure. Well, like I said, I think any group that you're in, any job that you're in, you want a strong leader. You want a leader that exemplifies the values that you believe in, especially as people going into prosecuting. Public service. You want a leader that shows that they're willing to go out there, boots on the ground, and do what they're asking you to do. I think I possess those qualities. I think Mr. Howell and I have both stated instances where I don't think there's the confidence in the current county attorney. So I think that's one of the major problems that exists in the county attorney's office right now.
The confidence among the staff.
Right. Right.
Because we were commenting earlier about the prosecution rate, and it seems to be very high in the county. In fact, Susan, you were commenting that one attorney was suggesting there's no point in hiring a defense attorney if you're charged in this county because you're likely going to lose.
I don't tend to agree with that because I have lost my fair share of cases. But I do. I heard Mr. Howell say something. You want to make sure there's consistency and transparency in your dealings with criminal defendants. You want plea offers to be fair and just, but consistent. If person A with the same circumstances comes before you and person B comes before you with the same circumstances and the same criminal history, they should get the same plea offers. And if they don't, you should wonder why. Now, I'm not making any allegations, but what I'm saying is you want to be more transparent and more consistent with your dealings with the criminal defense bar and with defendants themselves.
I don't know whether this is appropriate for me to comment on this, but I can't. I'm almost unable not to. You two running for this position seem to agree on a lot of things.
And you know, I don't think that's an unfair observation. I do think there are differences between us. I think Mr. Howell obviously has been a lawyer longer than I have. I think I have prosecuted cases and he hasn't. And I think the general public, the voters, will decide, you know, what do they see as a more important quality in their county attorney.
So maybe if we were to bring it down to just a few points, why should the voters of Story County elect you or as the Republican nominee?
Well, I think I have the prosecutorial experience that's necessary to hit the ground running on day one. I've been in the Story County Attorney's Office. I've worked with every single law enforcement agency that works with the Story County Attorney's Office. And I've worked with people that are still there. I've worked with people that have left. And when you have that type of prosecutorial experience, it is different, and I respectfully disagree with Mr. Howell when it is a completely different setting sitting at the state's table, because I think you have different goals. You know, each of us is an officer of the court, and each of us strives for certain things in the courtroom. But when you're a prosecutor, the whole process is different in gathering evidence, working with law enforcement, and making those determinations. So that's my pitch.
I have another question because I've been trying to look a little bit at your campaigns, mm-hmm. and I think I heard you say something about door knocking.
Yeah.
Of course, you have, you started out with no or very little name recognition.
That's true. I'm Tyler Easton to a lot of people, so.
Yeah. But now say it right, please.
Tyler Easton, that's my true name.
And so, have you been successful in knocking on doors in rural Story County, or has that just turned out to be a little more than you?
No, it's been fascinating. Campaigning has been just so interesting. I've gotten out and knocked doors in Ames and in Story City and Nevada, Kelly, McCallsburg, those counties where, those cities where, you know, everybody knows everybody. And it's been fascinating getting out and talking to people and hearing what their opinion of the Story County Attorney's Office is. I sent out mailers. I think a lot of people got some mailers in the city of Ames and the city of Nevada in the last week. So campaigning to me is important that you get out and talk to the people that are actually going to vote and see what their values and questions about the office that you're running for are.
Okay. One of the challenges we have in a primary is just getting the voters out. And are you sensing as you go door to door that people are interested enough to vote on Tuesday?
I think people realize, as you folks said, that this is a very important race. Being politically knowledgeable, the Republicans have a very interesting race because there's a very competitive Senate primary. I think that will drive some people that usually don't vote. But I do think the people of Story County, as both Mr. Howell and myself have sensed, they want change. And they know some of the problems that are occurring. And I think they know that this election is important.
I hope that the listeners have had some good information to help them make their decision Tuesday.
That's right.
And I hope that you and Mr. Howell will get the word out that they should listen to what you people have to say today.
Well, I appreciate this opportunity very much.
Well, we were glad to have you here. This is Local Talk on KHOI Community Radio. And today we've been talking with the two candidates in the primary election for Story County Attorney, Steve Howell and Tyler Eason, who will be facing off against each other in the Republican primary election on Tuesday. This interview will be rebroadcast at noon and 7 p.m. It will also be available, along with all our past Local Talk programs, on our website, khoifm.org, as soon as our webmaster, Ron Carson, can get the information. Your hosts today have been Susan Franson and Tom Beal. Local Talk is engineered by James Winters. Our theme song is Backtracking by Al Harris and Tom Richards from their CD, The Ballad of Kate Shelley.
Local Talk is a radio production training workshop as well as a radio show. If you would like to join the team as a reporter, contact us at 292-2878. That's 515-292-2878. Or at the email khoiradio@gmail.com. Your participation as audience is what makes KHOI possible. Thank you for listening, and
we'll see you again
on the radio.
I only want what's the best thing for you, and the best thing for you would be me. I've been convinced after thinking it through that the best thing for you would be me. Every day to myself I say, point the way, what would it be? Ask myself what's the best thing for you and myself, and I seem to agree that the best thing for you would be me. The best thing for you and myself, and I seem to agree that the best thing for you would be me.